Hello there. Are you sure you're in the right place? See the name on the door? This podcast is Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. Surely you don't want to come in here. You do. Well, I must warn you that things are pretty adult in here. Absolutely no children are allowed. Obscene language, shocking and horrendous stories to chill you to your core, and terrifying tales that'll keep you up at night. The ladies inside aren't quite right. Lovely and hilarious, but very strange. Still want in, do you? Well, you'll get what you're here for. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. I'm Emma.
I'm Tash.
And I'm Becky.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Fancy seeing you here.
You okay, my lovelies?
Really good. How are you both?
Fab.
Ecstatic. I wanted to use a different word compared to fab.
Yeah.
I don't feel that I am ecstatic.
You don't look ecstatic.
No, your face was not giving ecstatic.
You were like, ecstatic. But are you okay?
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, good.
Half the battle, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm here. It's always a last minute panic to finish bits and bobs that I'm like, I've got 3 days to finish this. I won't finish the end of it. I'll just do it in a mad panic right before we record.
Do you know that other podcasts have like their scripts written months in advance? Like they've already got 5 or 6 scripts that they know that they're going to record. And sometimes they record like 2 or 3 episodes in one day.
My brain doesn't work that way. I have to have it's like anything. Someone's coming over. Like, and I know a week in advance, I'll only have a last-minute panic.
That's the best clean, though, isn't it?
Never get
it clean. My favourite time to clean is when a prospect booty call comes over and then they cancel. I'm like, do you know what? My house is clean, though, so lovely, thanks.
Isn't it weird how we clean before someone comes over? Like, we're like, I'm going to make this person think that I've got my shit together and I'm amazing and my house is always immaculate.
It's because everyone does that.
It's weird.
Everyone does that. So we all think that everyone else does that.
So we go to somebody's house and we're like, wow, they've really got their shit together. Everything's so clean. I'm such a failure at life because my house.
I have lots of friends that don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Like, their house are just lived in. Like, they're not, like, awful. They're not gross or anything like that. They're just lived in houses. But yeah. I'm like, you love me that much, you don't clean up for me. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, confident.
Good point.
Yeah. No, I'd rather them not feel obliged to clean. But sometimes I come in the house and I reckon if ever I randomly brought, like, a friend back or, I don't know, someone, and they'd be like, oh, my God, someone's robbed your house. Look. No. Oh, there's stuff everywhere. I'd be like, I just haven't cleaned.
Yeah, this is how we live.
I have 3 children and a man child and me.
The other day I did have a friend come over and the house wasn't like messy. It was just like, yeah, like you say, lived in. Like it's a house, we live here. There is stuff out, you know?
Yeah.
And anyway, she hadn't seen the new house and I was showing around and one of my dogs looked her straight in the eye and pissed on the floor. And he did that about 5 times while she was here.
He needed a wee.
Come on. No, he didn't, Tash. He had 5 wees. He didn't need.
It's the only time he can wee is like, look at me in the eyes.
Just look at me do it. Look at me.
I don't even wee 5 times a day.
No, neither do I. And he was
well,
just like,
unless I'm at work, you know.
She said she didn't know where the piss was coming from. She's never known a dog piss so much. I was like,
Were they big wheeze?
Yeah, and it's only a little dog.
No.
And it's not, and he wasn't busting because my dogs go out about 10 times a day. So it was just literally, you're a new person. I'm just going to piss.
I'm just going to piss everywhere. It's my house.
Yeah, that's what I do. And they don't do that. They're clean. They're house trained. Anyway, moving on. Pissy fucker.
Pissy pants.
Pissy pooch.
Literally, just like, oh, you're trying to have somebody round. You're trying to have a social life. I'm just going to embarrass the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it was just pee. It could have been poo.
She didn't stay that long, to be fair.
I think poos are better. You can just pick them up.
Oh, but it
depends
smell.
On the consistency.
It lingers. Just,
it's fine.
It lingers. Anyway, talking about piss and poo, have you got a bit of a that's gross segment?
That's
yeah,
gross.
I have. It's not about piss and poo, but yeah, I have.
Let's play that jingle.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Not very, to be honest. I'm at a bit of a funny angle, but it'll do.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
This is so gross.
Oh,
I feel really sick. That's a no from me. It's disgusting. Oh. This again, it's not a story about me, but I will read it as it was written. I'm going to tell you about the time I spent the weekend with my family at a National Trust property in the Cotswolds. To put it into context, you have to know that I was born and raised in the US. And though we have big spiders, and they are gross, we don't have big, gross house spiders. Not like you do in the UK, anyway. All our big, gross spiders live outside, thank you very much. You, however, have big, gross spiders in your homes.
You should try France, mate. They're like tarantulas.
They're big here as well, though.
Are they?
September, October time, and it's mating season.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
Burn the house.
Big, chunky, hairy ones. Yeah.
Another thing you have to know, I'm more or less okay with spiders, but my husband's sister and their mother are proper arachnophobes, like hop on a table, squeaking in fright at the sight of a tiny spider, arachnophobes. Anyway, we stayed at an awesome National Trust property out in the middle of nowhere for a long, lovely weekend in October. What did I say?
Prime spider time.
Prime shagging spiders. The history was bloody, the beds were comfy, and the walls were crawling with the biggest, grossest spiders I've ever seen. We're talking Kingdom of the Spiders, number of eight-legged monsters. And they're everywhere. You'd walk up the stairs and make a mistake of looking overhead, and there they were. You'd clean out the ashes in the fireplace, and there they were.
What, in the fire?
Everywhere. They're everywhere, fire Becky. Spider. You'd draw yourself a hot bath, sit back, sighing with pleasure, and there they were, watching you, naked.
Oh, I'm sighing with pleasure.
This is my pleasure sigh.
Because I saw the spider. Let's just clarify.
That's a shriek. No longer a sigh.
I'm pretty sure my family hasn't recovered yet. Now, that said, the wolf spiders we have in the US have six eyes that glow red at night if you shine a flashlight at them. So I guess there are worse things, like all the spiders I had to Google for this story. So it's not the grossest story, but I can imagine for some people this is disgusting. And if you are a listener from overseas and you haven't been to the UK or France, this is true. Around like end of August, September, October, you have the biggest spiders in your houses. Like they are so big, you can hear them
scurrying. Like,
oh yeah, you can hear them walking around.
Or like if you're in an older property that's got like rendered walls, so like my parents' property, the walls like have a lot of exposed stone, So like if where the rendering was, like little, you'd hear them walking up walls because little grains of like sand and whatever would come off the walls, and you'd just be laying in bed at night hearing that. And if you listen to our previous part of the podcast where we talk about houses that are lived in have clothes and stuff where spiders can hide. So if you're not watching that spider, they disappear and then you don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Our household is a spider-loving household. My little girl sometimes is a bit worried, but it's always a catch-and-release kind of situation. We don't squish spiders here.
I don't squish them, I hoover them, I'm not going to lie.
Sometimes you just see a cat getting carried across the room and that's when you know it's a big spider.
Yeah.
It's just like lifted up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm joking.
Like a crab.
When they're a really big one, my dog will catch them and like sort of like, she does like, she doesn't really eat them. She's
With the tongue where it's like,
yeah, she sort of like plays with it. And then I'm like, are you making that face because it's bitten you? Like, what's happening? Anyway, if it's a really big one, she's a bit like, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah. Our cat eats spiders, but the really big chunky hairy ones, he's like, no, it's too much for me.
Yeah, gross. Yeah.
So they are gross.
But, well, if you're an arachnophobe, they're gross. They don't bother me. I mean, saying that, if like I put a jumper on and one started crawling over my face.
But this is what happens. I had one in my room, which I didn't know it was there. He was just chilling right in the corner. And I got a jumper and he was on a jumper. I've never worn that jumper since. He's not there anymore. I took the jumper outside and I shook it. He's gone.
They get in bed with us. Ben will just be like, get out of bed. There's a spider on your pillow. Fuck's sake.
My mother-in-law once. She woke up to one of those spiders. Oh, God, it is making me feel sick.
Are you an arachnophobe?
I don't think I'm an arachnophobe. I don't like those, but I'm the only adult here, so I have to deal with them. If I was at my mum's or I was at your house, I'd definitely want you to get rid of the spider. If it's at my house and I'm the only adult, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just looking at that picture in the background, is it a crow wearing a captain's hat?
Oh, I'm glad you noticed him. Yeah, it's my crow. I can't remember what I named him, to be honest. So I thought maybe we'd come up with a name together.
Can we look at him closer?
Bring him closer.
Can you bring him? Come closer.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the Sucroius crow of the Crow 3.
He's like an admiral, isn't he? Admiral Crow.
He's cool, isn't he?
Yeah. He's wearing feathers in his hat. Do you think those are the feathers of his, like, victims?
Enemies.
That's all I think about.
Yeah.
So what should we call him? I've got Clive on the wall. Clive's my skeleton.
Cornelius. Cornelius Crow.
Yeah, Cornelius. That's a fab name.
I don't think I'll remember that.
Cornelius.
Gavin.
Cornelius.
Gavin.
Colin. Colin the Crow.
Colin the Crow.
I quite like Gavin.
I think it's going to be Gavin. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very nice. I like him.
Nice, isn't he?
Hmm.
He's going to sit behind us.
Outside of my place of work, they've dug up all the like the road and stuff. So I don't know what they're lying down. Something to do with the internet. And they've covered it all back up. And millions of crows are just standing on that bit of earth. And I'm like...
A body.
Has somebody murdered
There's
somebody?
A body.
Yeah. Because ever since they've done this, it's just in this one patch, like in front of one of the windows. I'm like, bad omen there. Yeah, that's what he's doing. You know, like that noise that you just made, like a person making a crow side sound, that's what they're doing. They're like,
Kah! So crows are making the sound of a crow?
The sound a human makes when they're imitating a crow. That's what
Do you know
crying.
What that sounds like? That sounds like that time that I don't think I did it on here, but I vividly remember me having a conversation. It's highly likely it was with you two about how penguins look like they're mocking humans walking like penguins.
Yes, it was with us. It was definitely with me.
They're almost too penguiny.
Yeah, you don't really like that. You don't really walk like that, do you? But you want us... We think you walk like that, so you're going to walk like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they just walk normally.
Yeah.
And then, like, they see a camera and they're like, oh.
Crows talk. Have they got the capacity to talk? Or
don't start, Emma. I don't want them to start talking to me. There's enough out there.
I'm sure crows can mimic, like parrots.
Yeah, they can, like a parrot. Yeah,
is that
how terrifying.
I think it's a magpie. Well, I think no, I don't think it's either of those birds. I think it's a mockingbird.
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong. God,
I'm gonna Google.
You tell
it.
Me.
Tasha's just so confident. Like, I don't think it's that. I think it's a mockingbird.
Can crows talk? Here we go. It is possible to teach a crow to say words, but not to actually talk. Well, I'm not stupid. No bird can really talk with human speech. Fucking hell, there must be some idiots on Google.
Well, yeah. Arguably you, babe. You just Googled it.
No. I was Googling it to see if they can mimic.
Do you know what? You know when they do roundup of the year on like Spotify or other platforms? I would love for them to do that on Google with the silly questions that I ask Google.
Right. My story this week was actually a listener suggestion.
Ooh, thank you, listener. Suggestion.
So, thank you very much. I think it was John that sent it in, but I think possibly Carly might have suggested this at one point as well. Definitely more than one person has suggested
this. Well,
thank
you very much, both of you, or whoever it was. Thank you.
Thank you. If I've got it wrong, write in, but just don't shout at me. A warning to go along with this story, as it contains murder, as we all know.
What?
Very, no, very bad tattoos, which I will send you.
Bad tattoos.
Soon. Bad tattoos. Like, you know when you see them and you're like, oh, God, that wasn't a good choice.
Bad tattoos.
Every single one of the, yeah. I think I'm in a bad tattoo Facebook.
Yeah, me too. It's probably the same one.
I think, listen, I said to this to the tattoo artist when I got my moustache done. I said, everyone ends up regretting their tattoos eventually. They're all shit, aren't they? And I pointed to one of his and I went, I bet you hate that, don't you? He went, yeah, I do, actually. I told you.
That one there is shit. Shit.
You hate that one, don't you? Yeah.
That was so funny. I want him to tattoo me after that because he'd just be laughing
really
and going.
Really fit as well.
They always are.
Anyway.
Right. So this story contains murder, as we already know, very bad tattoos, the ultimate pick-me woman, and even Britney fucking Spears.
Britney?
A reference to
fucking
her, anyway.
Spears.
Let me pull up a chair.
Can you? Because I've heard this before, and I kind of know what it is, but what is a pick-me girl?
Pick-me, 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 pick-me.
They're always like, oh, I'm just one of the guys, you know, girls, so much drama with girls. And oh, and they're usually like the best friend of, I don't know, I can't,
no.
It's hard to explain.
Isn't
I'll have to send you a load of.
No, isn't a pick-me girl like, I'm better than her, you should pick me?
Well, yeah, but they do it in like a sly way. They're like, I'm one of the boys and I like football and everything.
No.
So they
no.
try to, yeah, they also there's lots of nuances to a
I
pick
think
me.
Pick me girl comes, does it not stem from Grey's Anatomy where Meredith
yeah.
was saying pick me, choose me, want
yeah.
me or
me.
Whatever she said.
Is it basically
beggy?
Women that put down other
Should
women.
Should I Urban Dictionary it?
Go on then.
Yes. Go on then. While we're here.
So the Google definition is a pick-me girl became something of a meme on TikTok recently and is essentially a woman who seeks validation from others, most commonly men. They adopt behaviors and opinions that make them different to other women to be more desirable and palatable to men, often at the expense of other women.
They just think there's something special. I'll get on my
Go
story.
For it.
So my story this week is about a woman called Joanna Dennehy. Joanna Dennehy was born in St. Albans in Hertfordshire in August 1982. She came from a stable, loving home in a rural area where her mum, Kathy...
You said she came from a stable. I was like...
I thought that.
Where cows are. You paused.
A stable.
That's what I used to say to my brother. We used to go by a farm, but that's where we got you from, Jack.
What a bitch.
I know. So she came from a stable, loving home. So not a stable. Yeah, in a rural area, so it could have been a stable. where her mum, Kathy, worked as a shop assistant and her dad, Kevin, worked in security. Nice. Dennehy's mum and dad were supporting loving parents, letting Dennehy, like, do all extracurricular activities and stuff.
Like sex?
Extracurricular activities? So what did I say?
That's out of school. It's like going to play piano or have a tennis lesson.
Yeah.
What do you mean sex?
Isn't that what you call it?
Extracurricular activities. Are you thinking of extramarital?
And then I instantly died myself. I was like, have I seen this
me, mate.
For years?
Sorry.
It's okay. Thanks, Emma, for being the voice of reason and all knowledge. So Dennehy maintained like good grades at school. She loved netball and hockey. She was a sensitive, caring child growing up. It was, however, when she hit her teens that she became more and more destructive, as we all kind of do, but she took it a bit further.
Almost perfect.
It got worse and worse with her parents until eventually she got a boyfriend and left home at the age of 16 and ran away with her 21-year-old boyfriend, John Trina, and never returned. But she never returned home. She left and that was it. Yeah. She was gone. By the time she was 20, she was already a mother of two. Apparently, when she fell pregnant with her first child, she was furious because she didn't want to have children. Dennehy lacked the loving mother gene, and as soon as her daughter was born, she went back to drinking and started using drugs again and cutting herself as well.
Oh, dear.
Her addictions got so bad that she told her family that if they wanted to see their grandchild, they would have to pay her to see it.
Oh, fucking hell.
And the money would just go to fund her addictions
so
again.
So who's looking after the baby? So, it's a baby in a bit of a neglectful situation.
She is and the boyfriend.
Shit, right?
She is more than he is. Yeah, but they're in a toxic relationship. When they eventually refused to give her any money, she completely cut them off. So after the first baby, cut off her family completely. Despite her behaviour and not liking motherhood at all, she actually got pregnant again in 2005. That's when she gave birth to her second baby when she was 20. She continued her terrible behaviour, forcing her kids to grow up in an unsafe, filthy environment.
Loves.
She also cheated on Trina, so her boyfriend, constantly. There was like accusations of domestic problems on both
sides.
Poor
kids.
Horrible way to grow up.
Yeah, so the boyfriend later decided to leave the relationship and took the children with him. He wanted them away from this horrible, toxic environment. He knew it was the best move for his children's safety, and he would only later find out how right he was by doing so. So after he left, Dennehy moved to the city of Peterborough, where she met Gary Stretch Richards. His nickname is Stretch, so that's what we're going to call him from now on.
Is he very tall?
Very tall.
Oh, what? Such a weird nickname, though, isn't it?
Wow, Stretch. It's for tall people.
Oh, like, all I can picture is Stretch out of Casper. That's all I'm seeing as a ghost the whole time that I'm going to tell this story. She also started to fund her addictions through sex work, which led her to have a hatred of men. In February of 2012, when Dennehy was 29, she was arrested for theft, and she was in such a bad place psychologically that they admitted her to a psychiatric hospital. And during this time, she was diagnosed with an antisocial disorder and OCD. So little over a year after her arrest, she began a 10-day-long killing spree.
Okay, that seems like a leap.
Just like that.
Let's just, okay.
So when she started like selling her body and everything, and then the various men that she was going out with, she started getting more and more into the darker side. Well, not very vanilla, let's say. And she got into more BDSM stuff, but then pushing more boundaries on that, more towards sadism.
Was that so she could charge more?
I think we'll get into it more later, but she enjoyed inflicting pain on others, and she cut herself a lot as well, so she did like pain herself. But she hated men, as we'll see as well. She found them very easy to manipulate, and she just knew what buttons to push. Her first victim was a Polish man named Lukasz Slabosuski. I'm so sorry if I butchered that name. He was a 31-year-old who was living in Peterborough. He'd met Joanna just a few days before he would eventually be killed. They'd like met online and started texting each other forwards and backwards, and he started to think that possibly she could be his girlfriend. So after she kind of lured him to her house with a few suggestive text messages, he went to her property for like a booty call. And when he got there, however, she got out a pocket knife and stabbed him straight in the heart.
Fucking hell, straight to the point.
Yeah. And like I say, he had kind of started telling his friends about, oh, I'm off to go meet this girl and I'm really enjoying speaking to her and stuff. He actually sent a text to one of his friends saying life is beautiful at the moment.
Oh, bless his heart.
So bless him. The last time that he'd actually visited his family in Poland was in the December. And he was really happy with his new job in the UK. He also had plans to spend Easter with his sisters that were living in London. He was a very sensitive person. He was always eager to help others. Not only was he friendly to everyone, but he loved making people laugh. After she killed him, she went and dumped his body in a wheelie bin. And she was so proud of her achievement of just killing this poor man. She showed off the body to a random 14-year-old that she knew from town.
What the fuck?
A 14-year-old girl.
What the fuck?
Well, she just... Wait, honestly.
She's like, hey, come and look at this.
So boop. Weird.
And then...
So,
horrible.
She met this guy. She's talking to him online. He really likes her.
Loves him to
her.
He
goes to her house and she just stabs him.
Yeah.
Just no
Pretty
motive,
much.
Nothing. No argument.
No motive, no. He was a nice guy. The murder woke up a monster inside her, as if this was like her true identity. Like I said earlier, she was like sexually turned on by murdering people and seeing them in pain. So sadism, basically. Not long after she'd murdered him, she already wanted to kill again. 10 days later, Falklands veteran John Chapman, who was 56, he was Dennehy's housemate. The pair lived together in the same bedsit. Chapman had taken like a mix of alcohol and drugs, and while he was in his like impaired state, Dennehy jumped on top of him and stabbed him multiple times, again like through the heart and everything. And then so when she did that, she rang up Stretch, the guy that she's also kind of strict. She has all, I don't understand. She has all these guys. We'll get into it in a minute, but she has all these guys like wrapped around her little finger and she is disgusting. Yeah. I think she's a good manipulator and ugh. So she rang up her friend Stretch and she giggled down the phone and said, oops, I did it again.
Oh, God.
So did he know that she'd previously killed someone?
Yeah, well, he's like smitten with her. He's obsessed.
That's wild.
So he's at her beck and call, really. So the very same day as John Chapman's murder, she carried out another murder. Married father of two and property developer Kevin Lee. He was also Dennehy's landlord and occasional like lover a little bit. Through all of this, like, well, yeah, I've put it in here because I just don't understand how she's getting all these guys. And they're not bad look. I know that looks aren't everything, but I just don't understand it. These guys look happy and nice and normal.
If she's putting it on a plate, like...
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then I suppose she knows how to lure them.
Some men just really love a shag and they don't care, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just shagging, just something is new. It? Stretch, who's besotted with her. Even though
they must have shagged.
Oh, yeah, she is giving Stretch a little.
Stretch.
So after killing Lee, she asked Stretch to come and help her get rid of the bodies. So he turned up to the crime scene with his friend Leslie Layton.
Such someone else that's coming to...
What are you doing tomorrow, mate?
Do you want to get rid of these bodies
for
me?
Serial killer, but, you know, help a girl out.
Yeah. Yeah. The best looking ones are always the craziest.
Fucking hell.
So, yeah, she called in, like, her cronies to come and help
her. So how did she kill the dad of two? Sorry.
Oh, everyone gets stabbed him again. Yeah, she lured him over for a sexual favour. Sexual favour. Stabbed him again. Yeah. Stretch helped Dennehy dress Kevin Lee's body in a black sequin dress. When they dumped the bodies in a ditch in Cambridgeshire, they placed his body in a way that was a sexual pose with his genitals exposed.
So the complete humiliation.
Yeah. And it's another part fed her sexual sadistic side because it's completely demeaning.
Disgusting. She's deranged, right? She's like proper.
Yeah.
She's a monster.
And who are these stupid men just helping
Probably
her?
Probably stupid men, like one brain cell.
Apparently, both accomplices would later claim that they didn't want to help her, but gave in to her because of fear, because they saw what she had done. This tiny woman, she's not that big, she's small and petite, yet she's managed to kill now 3 men in the space of 10 days.
I suppose that's possible, but...
Yeah, so even Stretch, even though he was over 7 feet tall, he...
Whoa.
Would hold on to his.
I feel like we could have talked about that when I said, is he tall? And you went, yeah, he's tall.
I said he's 7 feet tall.
You just went, yeah, he is tall.
You just went, yeah, he's tall.
Oh, in my brain thought I said he was 7 foot tall. He's 7 foot
tall. That's tall.
Really tall.
So he couldn't even fit through my door over there. No. He would have to duck to get in.
Quack.
I'm so glad you quacked. I was going to do it. I was going to go quack.
You lined up for me, babe.
Yeah. So he towered over her by over 2 feet. She was only like 5 foot. So randomly, on the 2nd of April, Dennehy and Stretch drove to Hereford, allegedly to find more victims. So this is like 140 miles away. It's a long way away, randomly, to find more victims. So they were looking for more people to murder. And on the drive there, according to Dennehy herself, she turned to Richard and said, I want my fun. I need you to get my fun.
Can hell, man, calm
down.
We
need to find more victims so I can get my fill.
Sicko. Can't be doing with her.
Once in Hereford, they came across a man, John Rogers, who was walking his dog. So Rogers was walking down the street and all of a sudden he felt like a heavy thump in the back on of his back shoulder. So he thought, oh, turning around, he's like, who's this? Someone that I know who's just like randomly come and like a friendly tap on the shoulder, but just a little bit too hard. So he thought it might have been a neighbour. So he was like, what's going on? Turned around and then this woman starts stabbing him in
the
chest.
For sake.
Yeah. She kind of like jumped on him and forced him back down a slope and he fell backwards onto the ground where she continued to stab him again and again. And he was shouting to say, just leave me alone, please, please, just leave me alone.
Man.
But she just carried on. And he says, very disturbingly, she was just very matter of fact about it. No emotion. She wasn't like hectically stabbing. Yeah. It was just like... I don't know, almost as if she was just like, right,
this
well,
is what I'm doing.
Yeah, like, oh, I've got to do this now, I suppose. Sweeping the floor.
stabbing people.
So he survived?
Yeah, he survived. When the attack finished, she left Mr. Rogers lying on the ground until a passing woman found him and called for help.
Was his dog okay?
I think she took his dog.
Too much.
She didn't attach. She didn't
Leave
hurt
the dog. Fucking
dog. But she took it, stole the dog. He spent 10 days in the hospital and underwent surgery to both of his lungs, which were both punctured during the attack. So super lucky, because normally one gets punctured and it's super dangerous. And then that wasn't enough. So she goes along and finds another victim, Mr. Robin Bereza. He was out walking his Labrador, Samson.
Poor Samson.
Oh, I can see him now in my mind's eye.
I know. Little love. He had just celebrated his 36th wedding anniversary the day before.
Oh, God.
And he was just out for a leisurely stroll with little Samson. He, too, was approached from behind and thought he'd been punched as well, the same thing. When he turned around to see Dennehy, who then stabbed him in his right arm and said that she wanted to kill him. Thankfully, he managed to fight back and she fled the scene. Yeah, the father of two said that he had no mobile phone with him, so he decided to walk the half a mile back to his home. He just wanted to see his wife in case he was going to die. He wanted to see his wife before. But luckily, with medical help, they both recovered. So how was she caught? Well, she wasn't very... didn't really cover up her crimes very
well. She's doing it willy-nilly, isn't she?
I was going to say, did she, like, tap on her copper shoulder and was like, oh, shit, sorry.
Well, yeah, whoops. Stab, stab. How can you trust a teenage girl to
keep
a secret of a body in a bin?
Listen, I'm not a teenage girl and I can't keep a secret.
Especially that kind.
And also, teenage girls can't keep their mouths shut and they're only second to the local gossip, which they always look the same in every village.
And she's probably traumatised, right? Because...
I thought she didn't say anything straight away because, yeah, I think she was a bit like, holy shit.
Fuck?
But yeah, she did come forward. So 2 days after Joanna Dennehy murdered Kevin Lee and his family reported him missing, then his body was discovered in the ditch where they'd left him. They had actually identified Joanna Dennehy as a person of interest because she was his tenant. I was thinking, what's the word? She was his tenant. So they identified her as a person of interest, but when they attempted to question her, that's when she ran across the other side of the country with
Lurch. Oh, I think he should be called Lurch.
Lurch, yeah, that's better. So her going on the run lasted all of 2 days before they tracked her down. Her arrest seemed to amuse her more than anything
fucking
else.
Dickhead.
And while being booked at the police station, she laughed, joked, and flirted with the male police officer who was processing
She's
her.
She's gross.
There is some very, very, very cringy video footage of her being booked in the police station. I think to anyone who's not used to seeing, I don't know if you ever, do you ever watch 24 Hours in Police Custody? Yeah. They kind of have almost like a laugh and a joke sometimes with the prisoners.
Yeah.
Because it actually works better to keep them calm.
I think they just normalise the interaction, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's better. I mean, I'm sure they're judging the people that are in there.
I think they like match their energy, don't they? So if they're being aggressive, they're going to be more assertive. But if they're jovial and, you know, chatty, then they sort of...
Whereas you think, like police in America and then sometimes in France as well, they can be like over strict and like over...
Oh, you don't fuck around
like really
with
authoritarian.
The condoms over here. You're not having a laugh with them.
No way. And a lot of people react very badly to that because they've either never had an authority figure in their life and they don't know how to react to it, or just some people just don't like it. They don't like being talked to like that, whereas the British police tend to, like you say, match their energy and just keep them calm. And I find that it does work better for the questioning afterwards. But anyway, it's super cringy because the police are kind of having a laugh with her and it looks like she's kind of getting her own way. She kept saying to them, she was like, oh, well, you know, if I am done for murder, at least I'm skinny and pretty and all this. And like, at least I'm not fat. And it was just like, what?
Yeah, I'm a serial killer, but at least I'm not ugly.
Yeah, at least I like football. I don't know. It's just, it's so
she's
weird.
Vile. I hate her.
Yeah, it's really pick me behavior. And she's like, no, I'm not like all these other girls. And like, I don't mind getting my hands dirty. And but she would actually plead guilty to everything. And she would be sentenced to life in prison. The trial judge ordered that she'd never be released. And it was said it was because of her premeditation and lack of normal range of human emotions. She just did not give a shit.
No, she's got zero empathy.
Yeah, the two last people were just stranger attacks. She was one of three women in the UK to be given this whole life tariff. So along with Rosemary West, Myra Hindley. And so Myra died in 2002. Has Rosemary West died? She died recently, didn't she? A few years ago. Yeah. Did she die in 2020?
Sure.
I'll have to have a look. But anyway, she's one of three women to be given that
she's
sentence.
She's up there with the baddies.
In the UK. Yeah. Well, they're the two. You know who they are. Stretch was sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum term of 19 years. And Leslie Layton got 14 years. And they both deserve to go to prison, but I find Layton's sentence really heavy because he only disposed of a body, whereas Stretch drove her around the country.
Yeah, yeah, in comparison to Lurch, he should have got less.
Yeah, well, Lurch or Stretch. Yeah. There was only 5 years difference.
Did he go to the police, though?
Well, no, not voluntarily.
So, you know.
Fucked around and found out.
Yeah. So Dennehy was sent to HMP Low Newton near Durham, which is a maximum security prison for Britain's female killers. So it's the same prison as Rose West. And the day that she got there, Dennehy threatened to kill Rose West. And the threats were taken very, very seriously. And they took Rose West out of the normal prison bit and put her in solitary confinement and sent her to a different prison the next
day. Wow.
Because they reacted like that, Dennehy basically turned up to this new prison as top dog. We're like, hey, look, Rose West is fucked off. Yeah. And she has her little gang in prison with her little cronies and her little security guard. She did have a relationship in prison as well with another inmate. And they had like a little suicide pact that they never went through with. And then the inmate was eventually released. She'd finished her sentence. In 2016, Dennehy caused outrage by filing a high court damages claim for human rights violations. She said that she suffered during more than 2 years of solitary confinement. Her appeal was unsuccessful because it was a lot of shit. And also they revealed that she did spend a little bit of time in a solitary confinement because they found she'd written a little journal thing that she planned to kill a prison guard, cut off their fingers and escape using the fingerprints on these severed fingers.
This bitch is wild.
She's mental. So she was saying her human rights had been violated because she was playing solitary confinement. I think she needs to realise that nobody gives a shit about her human rights. Actually. Yeah. I'm not saying like every prisoner doesn't have human rights, but when you're that much of a psychotic piece of shit, who cares?
No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Exactly. We're still not finished because not only that, she actually has written letters to men trying to lure them to the prison so that she can possibly bring in more victims, even though it'd be pretty hard to murder someone in front of like a room full of people with prison guards. But she likes the fact that she can string men along, and maybe she could find a way of making the men hurt themselves or hurt for her.
So has she got like a big following? You know how like some VMAT?
Yeah, she did. She did. I know that she did when she first got caught, and I have no idea because the photos are absolutely rank.
The photos of what?
Of her. She just looks so horrible.
She just looks like a piece of shit. I don't know. I don't know how to put it any other way.
So Dennehy's mum said that when she saw footage of her daughter, it was like seeing somebody that they didn't even know. She was standing there being charged, laughing and smiling. She says it's like it's not the same person that they knew as a child, not the kind, loving Joe that was their baby. And she then added, to me, she doesn't exist anymore. I don't ever want to come out of jail. The world's a safer place without Joanna in it.
Wow, God.
Even the mum says that. And it's normally like the mother's like, my boy never does anything wrong. He's innocent. No, she's like, no, she's just a monster. She needs to stay in jail. And that's my story for this.
That was insane.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There was no motive to it. She's never given a reason.
Crazy bitch.
And there was no trauma, was there? Because she had a loving and stable upbringing.
Not that we know of. Not. So whether it kind of, maybe when she was addicted to drugs, maybe something happened to her then. I'm not sure.
Do you think the drugs turned her funny? Because they can do, can't they? They can like make people's mental
possibly
health go really bad.
And she, if she was into sex work to fund her
I mean, it's
habits,
a bad path to go down.
You don't know what happened to when she was doing that.
You know, there's going down a bad path and then there's just making that leap to, I'm just going to stab a load of people.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense, did it?
For no reason.
No, there was no logic to it. No. There was no reason. There was nothing. Mental.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd never heard of her, which is really odd because, as you said, she's like up there with the big baddies. And never heard of her. So thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you for whoever suggested it.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're a hero.
Right. Let's cheer ourselves up a little bit. We did get a nice comment on YouTube.
What did it say?
What did it say?
What did it say, says I? Would you say it in the voice of a pirate?
Please do.
I don't know how to do that.
Arr, me hearties.
I love you.
I'll do it, Emma.
just say, says I, at the end of every sentence.
Because I'm trying to do something else, I've actually forgotten what it is I'm supposed to say. What was I supposed to say?
Oh, you're reading
there was a comment on YouTube.
Comment.
And you want me to do it in a pirate voice?
Yeah. Yes, please.
I can't do voices.
Tasha could be the parrot.
My parrot sounds like a crow. Polly, Polly. He's a pirate. He's a pirate. He's a pirate. Comment.
Fucking mental perrier. Seriously.
I don't know what's happened.
What's
happened?
Why have we got pirates? Where's pirates coming from?
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, dear.
Oh, right. Come on. Serious now.
If not, screen share it and Tasha will do it. Fire it.
Go on then, Tash.
Arr, I love you. Arr, I love that you girls are on YouTube. I loved you all since the first time I heard you.
Why should He's I? Like, no. Murphy, what are you doing?
Hello from Alaska.
Oh, yeah. Alaskan pirates, yeah.
Poppy's flustered. Hello from Alaska, and keep up the good work, me hearties. And thank you for the laughs and the yard work. all of your humour and love that you extend in the stories you tell and the conversations you have are earnest. Poorly. So sorry, user-ZM3DR90H3P. I'm so sorry.
Right, just for anybody who didn't understand the...
I don't think that'll be anyone, actually. I think they all will understand.
Yeah, probably. I understood it because I could see it at the same time. Go and read it again, Emma. There's no way you can never take that out.
I love that you girls are on YouTube. I've loved you all since the very first time I heard you. Hello from Alaska, and keep up the good work, and thanks for the laughs and hard work. All your humour...
Oh, my heart is.
All your humour and love that you extend in the stories you tell, and the conversations you have are the best. Well, hopefully that lovely, lovely person doesn't mind that we turned her into a pirate.
I don't know why we did that.
No idea either. You were just like, oh, Emma, do a pirate. I was like, what the fuck are you on about?
Oh, thank you so much for writing that in. That was the best thing in the world. Thank you so much. We love having comments like that. That's so nice.
I tell you what, let's motivate everybody. If you send a comment on our YouTube channel,
oh yes,
Tash will read it out as either an Australian shark or a pirate.
No, I think what they should do is, if they really want us to read it out, they should put a comment in and say, please read this in the voice of, I don't know, Matthew McConaughey or something like that.
I'll do accents.
All right.
You were,
it'd be okay if that's the only thing that they put in the comment.
You were going pirate and farmer.
They're one of the same.
Bless your heart.
I don't know how you kept it together when he got to the Alaska bit. Because
I don't think I did. I kept it together.
Oh, so funny. No.
Oh. Right. After all that.
Back in the room. Definitely weed a little bit. That's
why. Do you need to go for a wee?
No, it's in my knickers now. No jokes, it's not.
It will be when I tell you this story, because it's terrifying. I mean...
Oh, is it?
As I've also said before, fear is subjective.
In the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, it's subjective. This gives me the heebie-jeebies.
And I feel like, though, if it gives you the heebie-jeebies and you're the one doing the story, then it is spooky. Because when I do the gross segments, it doesn't gross me out because I'm reading it. But if you were reading it, I'd be bleh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just this particular thing. I find it creepy. So here we go. Imagine you're home alone and you hear your partner calling out to you. Hey, come here. You're busy and you just shout back, I thought you were at work. Your partner responds with, hey, come here.
Ooh.
I'd be really scared because I don't have a partner.
Right. Why? What is that? I'd be like, are you naked or something? What is it?
Are you doing the helicopter with your willy? Is that what you want me to come and have?
Have you got elephant underpants on again?
So that's when you hear it. It does sound like your partner, but something is off. The pitch of their voice, maybe, or the cadence that they had when they spoke. It definitely sounds like them, but also not. Hey, come here. I want to show you something. Your heart drops into the pit of your stomach. Whoever that is, you are now convinced it's not your loved one. You send a quick text. Are you at work still? The reply comes, yeah, what's up? You get as far away from where the familiar voice was coming from and hide in your room, locking the door behind you.
Not out the house.
Yeah, why don't you just walk out the house?
It just depends. What if it was coming from the front door?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
You have just experienced what many, many people do in their lifetimes. You have just met a mimic. So what is a mimic? Well, in short, I don't know. Information about them is scarce and they tend to get lumped in with doppelgangers or skinwalkers. There are also a lot of people that believe that they are demonic. Personally, I don't like any of those options.
Nope.
No, none of that's good, right?
No, I'm not here for any of it. Thank
it's
you.
Not like, oh, yay, actually, it's a skinwalker.
I picked that one.
No. Here's what I do know. They will imitate a loved one, beckoning you to come to them. Sometimes they even use your own voice to call you, which is creepy as fuck.
That wouldn't work. Not with my voice.
It would shit you up, though, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to go towards it.
Oh, I don't know that it would, because would it be in the voice that you hear or the voice that other people hear?
Well, that's just a whole other can of worms.
Why?
I think she means that. Have you ever had an echo on a phone call and you hear your own voice and you're like, who the fuck is that?
Well, no, because we're not desensitized to what our real voice sounds like because we hear it all the time. So I now don't. I don't think I sound weird on recording. I think that's just what I sound like. But when we first started doing this, I was like, ugh, why do I sound like that?
I think you'd still think that sounds a lot like me, especially if it's a voice that's coming from an empty house.
Yeah, true. I mean, any voice in an empty house is not great.
No.
No.
Especially one that's going, come here, yeah. Come here.
Come here.
Come and look.
Yeah.
Look at my surprise. Sexy.
Sometimes they appear to people physically looking almost identical to someone the victim knows well and trusts. I say almost because that's the thing with mimics. They never quite get it right. There's always something off about them. Apart from the whole calling to you to your doom part, they don't move right and they don't sound quite right and they definitely look, well, not right. They move a bit like a baby taking its first steps. Like they aren't used to walking around on two legs.
I don't like it.
There's a tinny kind of mechanical aspect to the way they sound, and they never look like they should. The neck might be a bit too long, or the head too big, or the eyes might be placed slightly wrong. All in all, as hard as it may try, a mimic is not a doppelganger. Or maybe like a doppelganger that you order from Wish. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like not quite the real
deal. Not quite right. Yeah.
No. This creates a horrific uncanny valley effect. So uncanny valley is a term used for the unease that people feel when they look at something that is supposedly humanoid in appearance, but a bit off.
Like puppets.
Yeah. Or a robot or a realistic doll. People that feel creeped out by these are experiencing uncanny valley. And people who see mimics not only have to deal with the terrifying reality that this entity is not who it's pretending to be, but also uncanny valley. I think we can all agree that this sounds like something we would rather not have to witness. But disturbingly, in researching this episode, I've realised that I have encountered a mimic at least twice in my life, if not more. The voice that wakes me up occasionally might be familiar. I never pay enough attention to it. I'm hoping it's not. I'd like to stick with my alarm clock ghost. Thank you very much.
Oh, the one that wakes you up and goes, Emma.
Yeah.
That one.
Could be a mimic.
Could be.
That's horrible. I had it once when I was younger. It was my dad's voice going, Rebecca! And I was like,
well, that was.
No one was there.
That sounds a bit like a mimic.
No.
What about when you're like in the house alone, like the kids are at school, but you can hear them, you feel like you can hear them. Is that it? Or is that.
Hang on, I'll get to it. That's very, very funny.
No, but come on, can we just, actually, I don't know that I want to listen to this because I do have to spend time in my house alone, like regularly, not just like.
I understand your dilemma, darling, but I've got a script written out. Have I got another one?
Yeah, but like I'm here alone.
Do you want to leave?
I like the story.
Well, this, I can't do anything, babe.
Okay.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
I can hear the kids when they're not here doing stuff. And you're like, oh, making so much noise. And it's like, there's no children. Oh, shit.
So the first time I heard a mimic, I put it down to being tired as a mum of two small kids. I'm always tired, and possibly I was imagining it. Still can't say that word. Imagining it. Yeah.
Esophagus.
Knowing what I know now about my old house, i.e. haunted as fuck, screw you, angry attic lady, I'm definitely going with something paranormal. Both my girls were out at the park with my husband. I was enjoying a well-deserved chill, probably watching a true crime documentary on Netflix whilst nibbling on something I'd hidden from the kids.
Yeah, perfect way to relax.
Yeah. I heard, clear as fucking day, giggling. Not spooky giggling, just my kids giggling as if they were playing together. And to be honest, it didn't even register at first. It was a sound that I knew so well. I then heard, "Mummy, mummy." And for a split second, I thought, shit, someone's hurt themselves or somebody needs me. So I stood up to go and check. And then the penny dropped. Neither of my kids were at home. "Mummy, mummy," my eldest voice chimed out. I was somewhat freaked out, but decided I just had some kind of telepathic link with my girls and I'd heard them having fun at the park. Because, yeah, in my world, that sort of thing can happen. But now I suspect I may have experienced a mimic and it makes me want to throw up.
I don't like this.
How far away did it sound?
It sounded like it was coming from upstairs.
Oh, they're always just in the next room.
I'm glad you don't live in that house anymore.
The second time I might have been dealing with a mimic was sadly at my new house. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, right? So you all heard the story of Murder Badger that I saw in a field at night.
Yes. You didn't actually murder anyone.
The intention was there.
I saw it in his eyes. Murder was there.
Who decided that instead of running away like any normal woodland creature, he started running towards me and my dogs at full speed. This thing was quite a way away, so no way it felt threatened by us. Nope, it was definitely out for blood. My dogs and I were all in agreement that now would be a good time to run, and we did, and no one got murdered by the crazed badger. That I was trying my best not to explain with my paranoid paranormal brain as being a skinwalker. It was just a badger, right?
Yeah.
Well, more recently, I was out with my dogs again at night. Not anywhere near murder badger territory, because I'll never go there again at night, just in case. I whistled for my dogs to come in.
Why is whistling at night so scary?
And almost instantly, somewhere from where Murder Badger came from, was my exact whistle.
What, sorry? Like an echo?
Absolutely not like an echo. Echoes have a distorted sound to them. You can tell it's an echo. It fades
maybe
away.
It was a crow.
Mimicking.
But yeah, and don't echoes like happen in a cave? I'm sure that Emma doesn't live in a cave.
No, but you know what an echo sounds like. This was the same pitch.
It goes, echo, echo,
echo, echo, echo, echo. So I'm outside and I just went, you know, come on, dogs, let's go in. And literally seconds afterwards, from above the field, somebody went.
I would have died. I'm making jokes because I don't like it, because it's too scary.
Do you know why I wouldn't die? Because I absolutely would do that if I was outside and I heard someone make a noise, I'd do it back.
But
waiting in your field.
Yeah. Okay, so at the time, I thought maybe it's a far-off neighbour taking the piss.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
That's still freaky as fuck.
I mean, it's rude, but I think funny.
It seems like a very odd thing to do, especially as we don't know each other. They live very far away. We're not like neighbours, like live next door to each other. They're up a hill.
Yeah, country neighbours.
Yeah.
A hectare away.
They're elderly French people. I can't see them doing it.
You can't see them having tashabants?
No. So now, not only am I afraid of the fucked up, fast as lightning killer badger thing, but also the mimic that lives in the same area. Or are they the same thing? Mm. I hate all of it.
I'm not a fan.
I guess living in the country, you just have to accept that sometimes the outside has some weird shit in it. Sometimes it wants to eat you or entice you to your doom, and sometimes it's just a cow thinking, who's this mad human with far too many dogs and a head torch?
Oh, imagine if a cow whistled at you.
Maybe it was a cow.
What happens if you have an artifact that you've accidentally moved to your new house, which has the mimic?
I don't like that idea at all, because I've no idea what it could be.
Like a random locket or a little weird thing that the kids have in their toy box.
Got anything weird?
I mean, I've got a
Have
Furby.
You got anything weird, Emma?
I've got many weird things, but nothing that scares me particularly. But I tell you what I do have. I have a Furby, and he's completely dead. And no. I picked him up. I picked him up as Hello. I was cleaning. And he went, oh, I was dreaming that I killed you.
No, he didn't.
He fucking did. Ben said, did he just say, I dreamt I killed you? And I was like, it sounded like it. And he was like, that's not fucking creepy. And then it died again.
I'm dead now. Emma, I don't believe that.
I
can't believe it.
I'm not making it up. Why would I make up a Furby set? I mean, we probably misheard it, but we absolutely
My Furbies have never said anything more than, yum, yum.
This is one with, like, the electronic eyes, you know?
They've I know the like ones you mean.
Yeah.
The ones that got, oh.
The ones that we all got for our kids because we were reminiscing and they all just looked at them and were like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to play with this.
After spending like £80 once. On a fucking
No,
Furby.
Mine cost €1 from a second-hand shop.
Okay, fine. Well, mine didn't. And my kids were not bothered about it.
He probably didn't say. It's just odd that both me and my husband heard this Furby randomly awake and say, I'm just dreaming I killed you.
Did you get rid of it?
No, it's still in my bedroom.
Oh,
asleep.
Obviously.
I'll bring it in here, actually. It can go on the mascot shelf up there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. It'd freak out all the other teddy bears. I'd be like, oh, fucking hell, what's this thing?
You'll come in and the teddy bears will all be moved round.
Fuck that. No, don't like that.
Imagine if Toy Story was real, but then when there's a toy that's broken,
imagine?
It's just, you know, like, imagine if toys were really real. Like when we left the room, they were all
well,
alive.
Are,
but
yeah.
The ones that don't have batteries happens. Or that are broken are actually corpses.
That's sad.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't know when they died, and you'd just be playing with dead bodies.
Mm. And then forcing live toys to play with a dead body toy.
That's fucked up.
No, I'm going to be thinking about that now at night. Right, come on.
I'll try and give you something else to think about.
Like mimics.
Now, I guess you all probably don't find that as scary as I do, but these witness accounts are sure to send a chill down your spine.
Oh, my God, the fucking door keeps opening.
Which door?
Papa! T'as ouvert la porte, tu m'as fait peur.
Did you just call your husband Papa?
Yes, Becky calls her husband Daddy.
Daddy, you frightened me, Daddy.
She's like this, Papa, Papa, Papa.
Oh, wee, Papa.
No, it's because.
Oh, Becky. It's because the kids call him Papa. It's nothing sexual.
Yeah, that's normal. The kids call him Daddy because he's their dad. But you.
It's because he scared me.
And he went, Papa.
Oh, Papa.
That's great.
Becky's always the one going, oh, I hate it when people call their other
she
halves, like Daddy.
Yeah, because it's not the same thing. It's not Daddy.
You. There was no kid there, babes. There was no kid there.
You weren't saying to a kid
all the time.
You know what she's done? You know what she's done? That's code for I want it later.
No, it's not.
Papa, arrête.
Non, pas ce soir. He's left the door open as well.
Oh, papa!
Oh, dear. Let's move on.
She's hot. I've decided.
Yeah.
Decided.
Just go with it. Fuck my story, really.
My sexy parties. I'm now going to call it Chez Papa.
Chez Papa.
Chez Maman.
Anyway.
No, if it's you, it's Chez Maman.
Yeah, it's not the same, is it? Anyway, Emma.
Yeah?
Back to you, babe.
Back to you. In the studio.
Shall I do the thing?
This is what the people want. The public love this part of our show. Right, I love it.
I'll roll with it.
This is an interlude.
Yeah.
We're now back in the room.
Back to the mimics. So my story is fair enough. You know, you probably think overactive imagination probably didn't scare you as much as they scared me, because they did scare me quite substantially. But these witness accounts, I'm gesturing so much. Can you see how into it I am?
The girl's angry.
Like, I'm into this. Is Papa back?
Oui. Yes, yeah. Ah? I'm continuing. No?
He's asking me.
I've told him to wait for me next to the microwave. Wink, wink.
So these... Right, I'm just going to read some scary stories. There we go.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. It's Tash and her sexy mind.
That was all you girls.
Caca.
I haven't told anyone besides some family members this. This happened when I was about 13. It was summertime and I was on vacation with my parents. We'd hit the road and had driven quite a ways to visit my older sister, who lived across the country in British Columbia, about 20 kilometres out of Victoria. After spending time together and sharing supper, we decided to call it a night. My parents slept in my sister's bedroom and she slept in the neighbouring room with her small son. It's important to note a few things at this point. My mother is a round, short woman with very delicate feminine features. She has round glasses, and that night she went to bed in a long blue nightgown. My sister, on the other hand, is very tall and athletically built, taking after my dad in regards to her facial features. She too has glasses, but unlike my mother, hers were square-shaped. She went to bed in a shorter, orange, striped nightgown. These small but substantial differences are key. Now, since all the bedrooms were full, I was given a blanket and a pillow to sleep on the couch. Of course, like any kid, I watched TV for a few hours, well into the night. At around 4 a.m, it dawned on me that we had plans for the next day, so I should try and get some rest. After tossing and turning for about an hour or so, I gave up and just laid on my back, staring at the stars that were visible from the nearby window. As the natural light flooded the room from the sun rising, I flipped through some photo albums. I did this for a while, not having slept at all the entire night. At this point, I was pretty bored and lonely, hoping somebody would wake up and talk to me. Around 8 a.m, I heard a door slowly open and someone came out into the hallway. At my sister's house, the living room is sunken in and a small staircase of maybe 3 steps leads into the raised kitchen and dining room. The hallway is also in this raised area and connects to the bathroom and bedrooms. In the living room, there is a doorless archway that leads down to the basement and the laundry room. This means that I could look up and see what was going on in the dining area from the couch. This person hummed a little and then was caught off guard by a table in the dining room full of framed pictures of family my sister had on display. I don't know how to describe the way they were looking at the photos besides saying that they were bewildered by them, maybe even enchanted, letting out an occasional, ooh, ah.
This is weird.
Ooh.
I could tell it was a woman, but I wasn't sure if it was my mother or sister. This was strange because, like I said, they looked alike, but were also very distinguishable. I also felt this weird feeling because everyone in my family had seen these photos many times, and I'd even say may own a few copies of their own of those exact same photos. So why act so amazed by them? I said, "Hey, Ma, what are you doing?" in a nervous yet warm voice. No response. Okay then, it was my sister. "Hey, good morning. What are you going to make your dear sibling for breakfast?" No response. I knew I was definitely loud enough. They had heard me, for sure. That uneasy feeling in my stomach grew stronger now, and I had no idea why. The likeness of my sister and mother was there, so it wasn't like a stranger or something. Then I noticed something very off. They were wearing a knee-length, blue and orange striped nightgown. Their height wasn't short, but wasn't tall. It was average. They had a muscular build, but could not be called skinny either. The hair was the same colour as both my sister and mother's, and so was the skin colour. My heart skipped and I thought, who the hell is this? Maybe someone stayed overnight. But how could they have? I've been laying right here beside the front door all night. When they turned round and went to inspect another photograph on a wall near the staircase, their face made my heart sink. It was a hybrid of my mother and sister's most discernible features, with glasses that were round on the bottom but square on top. Their eyes were not my mother's or my sister's. They were very wide and unnerving and darted all around the walls very quickly, very excitedly. It was as if my mother and sister had been Frankensteined together into one person. My knee-jerk reaction after seeing the face was to scooch my legs in and pretend I was sleeping. I could feel the veins in my neck beating very hard and my breathing became very loud and laboured. Whoever the hell it was came down the stairs and looked around the living room with that same excitement. I don't know how to explain how scared I was as it came closer to me. I thought maybe if I stayed quiet, it would pass by me. I was also scratching and pinching myself now in case I was asleep without realising it. The pain was very real. I was awake. The thing I watched with my eyes squinted took up an interest in a photo album I had left on the table very close to me. Then probably the worst thing that could have happened, happened. My sister's portable home phone rang. My sister had answered a call last night and had put the phone on the couch between the wall and its cushions. The thing's face became very alarmed and it turned in my direction and saw me and became very, very angry. I opened my eyes and looked at it in its face and just stared back with my entire body trembling. Its eyes were pure black, total darkness, like two huge pupils staring right at me, furious. It opened its mouth and naturally wide and screamed, "No!" Then it turned and darted down the stairs to the basement where I heard the door slam shut and it kept yelling, "No, no, 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 no." I stared at the archway for a long time, still shaking and digging my nails into my arm, begging to wake up because I was so afraid it would come back, wishing I was just dreaming. I literally could not move because I was too scared to get up in case it came back or was waiting at the arch. An hour must have passed like that. I did not move. It had stopped yelling, and this was for some reason even scarier than when it had been yelling, because at least then I was sure it was downstairs and not slowly climbing back up. I then wondered why no one in the family was awakened by the screams. Then I heard a door open again from the hallway upstairs and stared at it, full of adrenaline at this point. It was my mum, exactly herself and in the right nightgown. She was humming as she put on the coffee and started making toast. Another door opened, my sister this time. The same as she had looked before heading off to bed. She and my mum talked for a bit and I just stared at them. My sister eventually saw me staring at her over the banister and yelled, "What the hell? Why are you just staring at me? Why didn't you say something?" I replied back in a very shaky voice, "I did. Twice." They looked at each other as if to say, "Huh?" I told my mum I hadn't slept yet, and she said that was a big mistake. I ate breakfast with them and then realised eventually that I was awake and I had really not slept at any point that night. I decided against my judgement to tell them what had just happened, in case it came upstairs to hurt them. They pretty much just laughed at me and told me I'd fallen asleep and imagined it. They basically told me I was nuts. My sister told me to go to sleep with my nephew and asked me to try and fix a screen in her room as it had somehow fallen off the window onto the floor in the night, leaving the window open. How had the screen fallen off the window? On my way to her room, I walked by that table in the dining room and noticed all of the frames were moved and all in different places. I pointed this out very excitedly, like, see, see, you know, I'm telling the truth. And my sister just shrugged it off and said her son liked looking at them. I kept pressing the issue to my sister, who went to the basement and every room just to shut me up about it. She didn't see anything unusual. I laid in the bed and did not sleep a wink. I still think about it from time to time and did not ever sleep on that couch again, opting instead to sleep in the floor of the room where my parents were and locking the door. I have been questioning reality ever since. Oh yeah, that's our first witness account.
I don't, it's horrible. I hate it. I can really imagine it as well. Like I could really, I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, horrible. That light. No. As they scurried off into the basement.
I wasn't ready for you to see me.
Fuck that.
I have got a question, though.
Go on.
They all sleep really late, don't they?
Yeah. Like past 8.
Lovely.
Yeah. But they are on holiday.
True.
So I will link the page where I got that witness account from in the episode description. I do have another one if you want it.
Well, whilst we're shitting ourselves, why not?
I was 11 at the time. It was summer, and usually we visit our vacation house, which I'd say is pretty secluded. We don't have any close neighbours, and the house is literally in the middle of the woods. I never dislike going there, as it's close to a river with a waterfall. My parents let me stay in the house with my grandpa, as my mum and dad had a business trip, but I remember them promising that they'd follow as soon as they got back from their trip. My grandpa picked me up around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. The drive was around 3 hours. Evening arrived and we're just halfway through because of a major car crash. We were stuck in the traffic for a long time. We almost finished 10 radio dramas while waiting through the traffic. We were finally driving up the mountains, which means we're close to home. But the road is insanely dark and covered in trees. Then, a loud thud broke the silence between the two of us. My grandpa had hit a big rock that was sitting in the middle of the road, like someone had intentionally put it there. This caused the car to smoke and the clutch to overheat. My grandpa decided we should spend the night in the car as he was very tired and he's not very good at driving in the dark. I was also really tired, so I was ready to fall asleep. My grandpa went to get a pillow and a flashlight from the trunk. I was listening to him move and arrange our stuff whilst I fell asleep. I'm not sure how long I'd been sleeping, but I was awoken by the sound of scratching under the car, like someone had a rock and was writing something under the car. As I looked out on the dark road, I saw a light. It was my grandpa facing a tree, pointing his flashlight in the total black of nothingness. I thought he'd also heard the scratching sound and was looking for it. I was about to get out of the car and call him to get back in the car because I was scared shitless. But suddenly I noticed that his neck was unusually long and had a patch of hair running through his whole neck. I knew something fucked up was going on, so I started looking around the car. I panicked when I saw my grandpa covered in blankets sleeping in the back seat. I quickly woke him up and told him what I saw. He dismissed it, saying that maybe I was just dreaming or I was just overtired. Just a few minutes later, the scratches were back and louder. There was also thudding under the car, like someone was smashing their hands underneath. I was panicking, my eyes filled with tears, making my vision blurry, and my head started to hurt from the anxiety. My grandpa heard all of it this time. He said there might be squirrels or rabbits under the car, because, you know, that's what they do. They're just like, whoa, car, let's go.
Basically mechanics.
Punch in the back of the car.
Whoa.
Really rowdy squirrels.
Oh, that's our time to shine. Squirrel.
So he said he'd go and check, which I didn't want him to because I was so scared to be left in that car, even just for a second. As soon as he opened the door, the flashlight where whatever that thing I saw in the woods lit up. Whatever it was laying on the floor. The light was facing our car. Then I heard the scariest sound I've ever heard in my life. It was my mum's voice singing. But we both knew that thing wasn't my mum. The voice sounded disgusting and distorted. It sounded like it was pretending and trying to imitate human language. The voice lasted for 1 minute, and the last part sounded so terrifying, as it sounded like it was shrieking in pain but laughing at the same time. My grandfather closed the door and locked it. He was shaking. We shared a look. He was so pale and looked so scared. We were both sitting in pure fear and silence. That night we drove back home. He always told me to forget everything that happened, to never talk about it, and to pray every night. There you go.
And they just never did talk about it.
I think his grandpa just wanted to, like, that did not happen.
Nope. Not considering that.
No.
These are horrible, Emma. These are terrifying stories.
Yeah, I don't like them. I will link that story as well in the description.
I'm not going to read it.
I've just read it to you, so you go.
That's true.
They say, if you hear your own voice calling you, pretend that you didn't. If you hear the voice of a loved one knowing that they cannot possibly be near, pretend that you didn't. Don't engage, don't answer it, and never go and investigate. I couldn't find out what happens when you go towards the voice of a mimic.
Oh, that doesn't sound good then.
Maybe that's because no one has ever lived to tell the tale.
So
I don't like
I often
it.
Will hear the noise that my mum's keys used to make as a child. So I've always heard this at random time. I wonder if that's a mimic. You know, like the noise, you know, like everyone's keys make a different noise, don't they?
Yeah, you recognise people's keys, yeah. I don't know enough. I'm not, you know. There's an episode on Netflix.
Netflix.
I think the series is called just Haunted. And it's all people giving...
I've seen this.
Well, I think season two, there is an episode called The Mimic. And that's really scary. Because it's all these flat housemates that are living this mimic. It's not nice.
There's a lot of TikTok videos, isn't there, as well? That music in the background. That. Have you not heard that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. There you go. That's me done.
Well,
that was terrifying, Emma. I think this is one of the scariest ones in a while. Creepiest ones in a while, I think, definitely for me.
Yeah.
What I don't like about that is that it feels like it could just happen to anyone.
Well, we've just said that we've all pretty much had something very similar happen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird.
I'm not here for it.
Trey.
Shall we go then?
Yeah.
Do you want to plug our socials and all that jazz?
You can find us in all the normal places. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are either under SCSK_podcast or simply Spine Chillers and Serial Killers.
Because that's our name.
That is our name. That's us. Hi, guys. We love hearing from you. We're also on YouTube. So this
email,
I was going to get to.
sorry, I don't like to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Get back in your line. Emma is the editor. She is our social media pro. She's everything. And I believe she will upload this recording to YouTube. So
Some of it. I'm not editing it all. Fuck that.
You better edit the papa.
No, that is the main clip. That's the first thing that's going on.
That has to be just a little segment in itself, you know. So yeah, get in touch, message us, email us, leave us a comment. I'll talk in a pirate accent again, and
please.
If you've
commented before, create a whole other account just to hear one of us. Touch us, speak a different accent. Oh, so funny. Please comment. And if you'd like an accent or a certain voice, I mean, I'm not saying that we can do it.
No. I think we have to be careful with accents because they can be really offensive as well.
Well, yeah,
let's just stick with the pirate.
Keep it
PC. Pirates out there are disgusted with
me. They'll be like, I don't sound like that at all.
Oar. Oh, no, that's a barber. See?
So it's a fine line. Pirates are fine line.
Between the sea and the land. Right. Anyway, we love you all.
What about the email that you were getting to?
I don't know the email address.
chillers.killers.pod@gmail.com.
.com?
Yeah. So, yeah, chillers.killers.pod@gmail.com for all your story suggestions, just to say hello. Or send it through the socials, whatever you prefer.
Send us your gross stories for me to read out as well. Anything gross. Anything goes.
Anything.
It's not necessarily conventionally gross. Anything
funny
gross
as well.
You think it's gross, we'll read it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Love you all. Goodbye.
Bye.
Stay safe.
Do not kill people.
And keep it weird.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Au revoir, papa.
Another dog water. Oh, gosh. Fucking so he was lying on the ground until another dog walker.
Okay, so now
I'm
we're
really
going
thirsty,
on to some...
Emma. I'm really jealous of your massive jug from last week.
It's a dainty little wine glass this week because you took the piss out of my mug.
Yeah, but I'm really thirsty now and I really wish I had a mega mug.
I've not only have I got my glass.
I saw you top water. It up earlier and I thought that was sensible.
Right. Would you like to go and get a drink? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, I'm not going to stop your story to go and get a drink. I'll just wait.
She's going to stop your story to talk about wanting a drink, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you keep everybody.
I don't know how long
this
water has been here.
All the time. It's fine.
I was going to shut my window, but better not.
Show a window.
Shut my window.
Go and shut your window if you want to. Now's the time. Look, she's drinking. Go on.
I don't know how old this water is. Can we die from old water?
You can if it's got anything floating in it.
Nothing's floating in it. There's no
wigglies.
One
time I had a really, really old glass of water that I'd been too lazy to move from my bedside table. And I always had a new one. And there was just this old one that kind of sat in the corner. And one time I got them mixed up and drank this really old water and I had a lump in it.
Oh, like a lump of dust.
just a lump. I don't know what, it was just like slimy lump. It was not nice.
It actually looked different. Oh, you haven't got your headphones on.
I might actually just go and get a sandwich. Is that all right?
No, you can stop.
Oh, make me one, please.
Cheese right. and pickle, okay?
I'm trying to be fucking scary here.
You are, and it's making me so
uncomfortable.
Emma,
I get terrified and then I have to be alone.
Mic drop.